Welcome to episode number 85. Welcome to episode number 85.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle. And sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of Road Trekking reporters.
Everybody, hello and welcome to another edition of the Road Trekking RV Lifestyle Podcast. You know, no matter what type of RV you have, a motor home, a towable trailer, a tent, hey, even if you just are dreaming about getting an RV, someday this show is for you because here we talk about getting out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering interesting places, and using the right gear and technology to enhance our RVing lifestyle. So we welcome you. Episode number 85 is coming right up, and we're honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. This episode of Road Trekking the RV Podcast brought to you by Van City RV in St. Louis and their partner dealerships, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, bringing you the largest inventory of Class Bs from three locations. Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name to know when choosing a heating system for your RV. By Verizon, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. By Good Sam, the world's most popular RV organization with over 1.6 million members now celebrating its 50th year. And Allstays, the internet's number one RV and camping app since 2010. We are delighted to have you with us on this last Wednesday in May. It is April 27th. May, that's what I'm talking about. May is just around the corner. And somebody noted that May is probably the most popular month of the year because it's ended winter. It hints at summer. It's got some beauty, the flowers. Whatever, it is the official start of the RV camping season, so that's why one of the reasons we like May. But being in our sticks and bricks home where we are now, I can't wait for warm weather to get here. It's still quite cool. You know, as the last week of April comes our way, 2016, temperatures at night still down into the 40s up here near our Michigan home. We've got some interesting stuff this week. We're going to report that kind of leapfrogs off a survey that we did on our Road Trekking Facebook group last week, trying to get some hard numbers about pet ownership among RVers. Now, I've heard all sorts of estimates. I remember when we first started off in this, somebody told me it was 90%. Well, it's not that high. Others said, oh, it's more like 30%. Well, I think we've got the actual figures now. According to a survey we did, and we had over 700 votes in a 24-hour period, we have 67% of all RVers travel with a pet. So we're going to learn today. We have a special guest coming up at the end of the program here, Amy Burkert from GoPetFriendly.com, which is hands down the best resource I have found for RVers who travel with their pets. Amy's going to join us, talk about how to find pet-friendly destinations for your RV and lots of other interesting things. So that's coming up as well. Plus, we have, we've got RV news. We've got lots of questions from listeners this week. And we got an off-the-beaten-path report you'll want to catch from our friends Patty and Tom Burkett. But right now, it is time to bring on my lifelong traveling companion and my bride. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello, Mike.
Well, it's cold. It's in the 40s, for crying out loud.
It feels really cold.
Yep, but we're not going to worry about it because we'll be hitting the road in about 2 weeks from right now. We'll be on the road.
We will.
And I'm very anxious for it. Can't wait to do it.
Yeah, I'm getting excited, but getting ready to go.
Yeah, you're going to have a fun tip coming up in just a second here, too, about it, about this next trip we're taking and kind of an idea that we had. We'll see how that plays out.
We'll see how it plays out. We're rather spontaneous.
So did that surprise you, the results of our pet survey that found 67% of all RVers have a pet?
I thought it would be more.
Did you think it'd be more? Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot. That is a lot. Dogs most popular, 58%, I think, of everybody travels with the dog, but 67% with the rest are cats are next most popular. But we had somebody that says they even travel with a chicken.
Oh my, I know I've seen people with birds, but a chicken surprises
me. Yeah, we had four people with birds, macaws and parrots, and somebody says they travel with a chicken. So nobody voted that they travel with a snake, but we know that at least one RVer traveled with a snake because we ran into a campground where there was a snake on the loose that he lost a boa constrictor in
right,
his
RV. Right.
That's not. I'd like to have him for your neighbor, but it's great. So we have yet to take Bo on our vacation, although we have him pretty acclimated now to our RV. He's liking it. We spend a lot of time in it.
Our daughter offered to watch him for this next trip we got coming up, so we're going to take her up on it, but it's going to be hard to not take him.
So the first trip Bo he'll be meeting his public, everybody wants to know where Bo is, will be the road trekking gathering we're going to do in mid-June in the Smoky Mountains. That's going to be fun.
That lucky dog?
Yes, that's going to be his very, very first introduction to our road trekking lifestyle. So that will be when we take him to the Smokies in June, and he'll be with us. We have the Smokies, and we have two other events. We have one in September, a road trekking gathering up at Tobermory up in Northern Ontario. That's going to be great.
I've been there for a long time.
That is going to be awesome. And then we have one in October, a kind of a fall foliage gathering in the Porcupine Mountains of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. So
keep our fingers crossed for good weather.
Yeah. And lots of people ask about those road trekking gatherings, and they're small. We keep them down to around 30, 35 rigs. Otherwise, they're too big and it's too hard to get to know everybody. So. And then our next one, of course, after the fall one in October, will be next January up at Taquamanon Falls, our annual winter camp.
Oh, is Bo going to like that?
Yes, Bo, our sled dog. All right. Well, you've got an interesting tip, I know, this week. So I think it's time to just get right to it.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
My tip of the week this week is really an invitation and a response to readers and listeners who say they want to meet us on the road. Well, here's your chance. Though, admittedly, this is a bit spontaneous and short notice. Mike and I will be headed down I-65 in a couple of weeks, and we thought, wouldn't it be fun to stop and spend the night at the Grand Ole Opry? We've only been there once before, and we liked it, and that was many, many years ago. So then we got to wondering about finding a campground near there, and then would other road trekkers care to join us? So consider this your invitation. We're looking at Saturday, May 14th for the Opry. We've already reserved our seats for the 7 p.m. show. We're staying at the Nashville KOA on Music Center Drive, which is near the Opry. Mike and I will come on Friday afternoon, May 13th, and leave Sunday the 15th. If you'll be joining us, there's a post about this on our Facebook group. Let us know there. You need to make your own reservations for the Opry and for the campground. But we'd love to meet you, or should I say y'all? We'll put a link to all this on the show notes page for this episode at roadtrekking.com/85.
Well, that's going to be kind of fun. Yeah, I don't know. We've already had a couple of people who say they'll be there, so we'll see. And I got some email today. People wanted to know, well, what are you going to do Friday night? And hey, come on. We're not organized. We keep telling you that.
Yeah, we don't know what traffic's going to be like. We've got the interstate to deal with. We're going to be leaving on Friday. So we got to drop Bo off at our daughter's.
And we have RV. Hit the road. We have RV ADD, attention deficit disorder, because we may be driving down the road and see something that we want. And we stop and look and check and...
More often than not, it's something that we don't want to see. It's construction or accidents or something that slows you down.
But there is no agenda to this. We just say if you want, people have always said, tell us where you're going to be. So we're going to try this. We'll see. And if this works out, we'll tell you other places where we are. So anyway, that's where we're going to be. Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to be some cool Nashville cats. If we get there early enough Friday, they have a shuttle from the KOA there that takes you downtown. So we could do some honky tonking.
That could be interesting as well.
You always want to do some country line dancing.
I always want to do country line dancing. Yes. This is my chance.
Little sweetheart. Only if you let me wear a cowboy hat.
Oh, I suppose you got to go buy a cowboy hat.
I love cowboy hats.
And then you're going to want boots.
I do.
This could be very costly.
I know. And buckles. Got to have a buckle. Yeah. Now that my belly's down a little bit, I could actually wear a belt buckle and wouldn't get lost in that big mass, maybe. Don't say anything. I can see you. All right. So this will be fun. We'll see who shows up. Nashville, Tennessee, May 14th and 15th. And we do have tickets for the Opry. I love the Opry.
Well, been there once. Then I remember we had to get, what are those little candy bars we had to get? We went there years
Goo-goo
ago.
Goo bars.
Yeah.
Goo goos.
Never had those before.
Oh my gosh, they're good.
Now we've been avoiding sugar. We'll probably get a sugar high.
You have to have a Goo goo bar. So, all right. Well, thank you so much, Jennifer.
My pleasure.
All right. Jennifer's tip of the week is brought to you by the Good Sam Club. The Good Sam is the world's most popular RV organization, now celebrating its 50th year. All right. Write this down and head over there. GoodSam.com/roadtrekking. That's the address. GoodSam.com/roadtrekking. RoadTrekking. Why do we want you to go there? Because if you're not a member yet, you can get the greatest deal here. You can get $25 for your membership. That's what you pay. But you get a free night's camping with that. So it's going to more than pay for yourself just by going to that link. GoodSam.com/roadtrekking. You pay $25 to join Good Sam for a year, and then you get a free night's camping. They have over 2,100 Good Sam parks across the country. This is one of the great things you get. And when you do future trips with them, all you have to do is show your Good Sam Club card, and you get discounts at those camping spots. Also, when you are on the road, when you visit Camping World, the club's official RV accessory retailer, you get a discount there. And they have everything you need for your RV lifestyle, everything you need. So you get a discount by showing your membership there. And then further on, you get a discount on fuel, you know, whether it's gas or diesel, if you go to the Pilot Flying J chain across North America, you get a discount on fuel with your Good Sam membership. So you see where we want to go, that wants to send you there? Good Sam is celebrating its 50th year now. They have 1.6 million members. They are by far and away the largest organization for RVers anyway. And you can get instant rebates at Camping World. Like I said, you can save money when you camp. And just by joining, you will get a free night's camp stay somewhere at your choice. So go to goodsam.com/roadtrekking, and you'll be a part of the world's largest RV organization.
Questions. You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers. Here's one of our listener RV questions of the week.
Mike, I'd like to know, what's the best way to sell my RV? For instance, is it Craigslist or a different type of publication? Or if you could give me some idea where to start, I'd appreciate it. Also, I'd like to know, what's the safest way of retrieving the money that I sell my trailer for? For instance, a bank cashier's check or something else, cash directly into my bank account. I'm just kind of searching, trying to figure out the different ways to go about to get this started. Thank you very much.
All right.
This is call. Ed from Livonia.
All right, Ed. I was just going to introduce you. Ed from Livonia. Thank you for that call. And let's see if we can take it in order here. You want to sell, I think, a travel trailer, and you were wondering about Craigslist. Well, Ed, I have to tell you, I am not a fan of Craigslist. There are simply way too many reports of fraud. I know people who have been robbed responding because of a Craigslist ad. I know of, I've heard of even murders that are linked as posters and respondents gather and are, you know, arranged to meet someplace. There is just the thing that you will encounter if you put your unit on sale is somebody trying to rip it off through fraud. You'll get an ad, they'll say they'll buy it cash on sight unseen, and they'll pay you a premium, and here you gotta give them this card and that card, and they'll wire it into your bank account, give them your number and your credit card numbers, they'll have it credited there. They'll give you all these scams and schemes, and most of them are so obvious that you won't fall, but still a lot of people fall for them and are ripped off. So I just don't use Craigslist. I don't even use it to sell like local stuff like garage sale items. And I certainly would never give anybody my home address for it. If you're going to meet somebody, you meet in a very public place. I know one guy who was going to meet at, I think, a Starbucks, And he was selling, when the new iPhones went online a couple of years ago, he bought three of them because, you know, they were in big demand. And then, of course, like a lot of people did, he thought he could make some profits. So he advertised the other two and somebody offered to buy them. And he got robbed. He went out in the parking lot. I know all sorts of scams out there. So the thing with Craigslist, and if you really look at it, you'll see that the problem that they often have is that there's just not screened. They just take these ads from anybody. And so I would be very careful of that. Now, as to where to sell your travel trailer, probably the best place I know is RV Trader. It's an online site that's kind of like a classified website for RVs. RV Trader, list it there. That's one place. For those of you who have road treks, the place I would recommend if you're going to sell a road trek is Road Trek International, or if you're looking for a used one, Road Trek International is a chapter of the Family Motor Coach Association for road trek owners, and they have a list of a lot of road treks for sale that you can get through there. I'll put links to them on the roadtrekking.com website for the show notes for this, roadtrekking.com/85. You can go there and check that out if you want. Now, as to how to pay for it or how to get paid for it, whenever you're buying or selling, you understand you want both sides to be protected. So if you're selling something, you need to make sure that you receive the proper payment for your vehicle or your RV, and you limit your liability in case the new owner, you know, crashes it right after driving it away. As a buyer, you can expect that you're going to have to prove that you are the new legal owner of the vehicle in order to register it. And in most cases, that means you're going to have to get the title. Some people call the title the pink slip from the seller, or possibly a bill of sale. You need that to get license plates for it. The simplest way is cold hard cash, but I wouldn't recommend that on expensive items like an RV. Probably the best way is a cashier's check. Now, a cashier's check is a draft guaranteed by a bank, and it's drawn from the bank's own funds, and it's signed by a cashier or a teller at the bank, and it is better than cash, used in place of cash or place of a personal check or credit cards or money orders. The most important difference with a regular check is that the financial institution that issues a cashier's check covers its face value instead of the purchaser. And this is a good deal to whoever's selling it. Sellers want that kind of payment because it's guaranteed by the bank, not by you, since the funds are drawn against the bank rather than a personal account. So it's all attested by an official of the bank, and cashier's checks are much better. The only one downside of it is sometimes on big purchase items, when you deposit it as the seller, you get paid in a cashier's check. It may take a couple of days to clear. But other than that, I would urge you to use a cashier's check. And I, again, would not urge you to sell it, Ed, through Craigslist. I just have heard too many horror stories about people dealing with Craigslist. So there you go. Hope that helps you out. All right, let's go to another question left by one of our road trekking listeners.
Hi, Mike. My name is Ben. My wife and I have been talking about buying a Class B for a number of years, and we're looking pretty hard for the last 6 months. After talking with some folks that own Class B, we've decided to pull the trigger on a Road Trek Adventure CS. Our main intent is to be off-grid 2 to 3 nights, maybe up to a week. So building a solar, high solar build, the underhood generator and the lithium batteries, I think is the way we're going to go. Anyways, I've been looking for backcountry roads that we can access with that XL, the long body. We are mountain bikers, so the main focus is to drive to some trailheads, boondock there, and do multi-day rides and or drive from there. What I'm looking for are, is a good reference for some boondocking areas, primarily in Colorado and the four states, Four Corners area, Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, those areas, as well as the rest of the United States. If you could help with that, that'd be great. Thank you.
Oh, I can help, Ben. Thanks a lot. And congratulations on your new purchase. First of all, I'm also a mountain biker. I don't do nearly as serious stuff as I'm sure you do, but I do love to take my bike and get out there. Let me tell you, first of all, that National Geographic not long ago listed the 10 best mountain bike areas in the country. I will dig up that reference and I will put a link to it on the show notes for this episode. You can go there and read it. It'll be at roadtrekking.com/85. But they listed the 10 best mountain bike areas, and two of them are right in your area. The first one is Crested Butte, Colorado. Man, they are hardcore bike culture there. They get riders from all over the world. Its history with mountain bikes goes back to the sport's infancy in the mid-70s. Pearl Pass, oh my gosh, that's where you want to go. They have, an annual Fat Tire Bike Week. They've been doing that since 1980. It's one of the oldest mountain bike festivals anywhere. The reason you want to go there, they have over 750 miles of single track. And now we're talking buff trails, casually winding through wildflowers. If you want to relax a little bit, or if you really want that rugged backcountry ride, you can find some there that'll climb up to 13,000 feet. And some of the descents are long enough to, the Enduro World Series, that's their only U.S. stop last year, was right there at Crested Butte. So lots of quality rides, and that's in southwest Colorado, lots of mountains, high desert, great. Another area out there is Durango, perfect climate, long mountain bike season, wide variety of trails, easy access in Durango. They've got a lot of two-hour loops. You can actually leave from downtown and go in any direction you want and find one of those loops. Lots of elite cyclists come from mountain bikers come from Durango. Man, they've got a lot of them. Heavy rocks. There's a 26-mile backcountry descent from the Durango Mountain Resort back into downtown Durango. It's considered one of Colorado's and even the country's best rides anywhere. I'll put links to this up on, as I say, the show notes, the National Geographic story. But where do you want to stay? Let me tell you two places. And they're not really rough. You don't have to. Well, one of them is a boondocking place, but they're still pretty nice. There's two places I think you want to go. They're both in that general area. Black Canyon of the Gunnison, which is just a stunning place. I'll put a link to a story I did when we were there with we did a whole family vacation there in Black Canyon of the Gunnison. And the next place I'm going to mention as well. And you can look at it. It's not nearly as famous as the Grand Canyon, but it is very spectacular. There's a great National Park Service campground there. It is Black Canyon of the Gunnison is a national park, so great camping there. Several of them are just boondocking only, but they do have in Black Canyon of the Gunnison an area where you can get some electrical hookups if you need them. You'll love it there. Great mountain biking. You can just take off from the campground anywhere you want. The other one is one of my favorite places, Mesa Verde National Park, also in that Four Corners area in southwestern Colorado. Mesa Verde is absolutely stunning. They have some archaeological ruins from cliff-dwelling Indians that lived there many, many years ago. You can get a tour of that. You can ride your bike everywhere around there. Mesa Verde is boondocking only. There's no hookups there at all, but you'll do just fine in that road trekking CS Adventurous. So I hope this gets you started, Ben. It sounds great, and you're going to love that unit and being energy independent with your solar and with your bank of batteries. But that's where I'd send you. There's two national parks, Mesa Verde National Park and Black Canyon of the Gunnison. Plus, there's some federal land around there that you can just ask any of the locals. Just go into Durango and ask where some places you can stay. You can do the same thing when you check out Crested Butte. All of them will tell you some national forests and areas around there. But those two national parks are my favorite in that part of the country, and you'll love them, I'm sure, too. All right, one more call. This is really some feedback on something we had on the blog this week. Here's a caller.
Hi, Mike. This is D. Wilson Ross speaking from Grand Rapids, Michigan. I just want to thank you for the article on how solar panels work. I've read pamphlets, brochures, books, e-articles for years, and never quite got it. Now I know and I think I'm going to get solar. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Well,
happy
thanks.
Happy trails.
Happy trails indeed. Thank you very much. Well, solar panels are pretty cool, and they are the hottest item on any new RV now. I can't imagine any RVs are sold without them. We've been using them now for about 3 years of the four that we've been actively RVing. So we just are terrific. There was a piece, if you wonder how they work, it's on the roadtrekking.com blog. I'll put a link on our show notes page and you can read it. But it shows how they work, and it's pretty cool. No moving parts, all electric. Electricity hits those panels, and the sun hits it, and it's converted into electricity. Just like magic. So, hope you enjoy it. Thanks for that feedback. We really, really appreciate it. Hey, we would like to hear from you as well. Next week's program, you can be part of the comments or the questions. Here's how.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question. Leave a comment. Look on the right side of Mike's RoadTrekking.com blog and click the Send Voicemail button. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
Sponsoring this part of the podcast is Van City RV in St. Louis, Missouri, and their partner dealerships, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV out there in Las Vegas, Nevada, bringing you the largest inventory of Class Bs from all the major manufacturers from three locations. All three of these locations have a great fly and drive program. You contact either Van City or Creston RV or Wagon Trail RV. Find out what you want to buy, get your best price, cut your deal, and then fly to their location. When you arrive, they will pick you up at the airport, and they will reimburse you up to $500 towards your airfare. And then they'll take you to the dealership where your RV will be fully prepared for travel, complete with full tanks of fuel and propane. Here's Dan the Van Man offering up the specials that they've got going on this week. How you doing, Dan?
Thanks, Mike. Have a great special here. Have a 2015 Winnebago Era 70C. That's a Class B with a slide out and a dry bath. You can check that out at VanCityRV.com. We also have two used Libreros by Leisure Travel, a 2014 model and a 2012 model. Great B-plus models with a little more room. Check those out at VanCityRV.com. You can also check out our other websites at WagonTrailRV.com and CrestonRV.com.
News.
Mike's got news.
RV news, travel news, tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle.
Here's the road trekking news of the week.
Well, what have you caught this story? You know, the travel season is now open in Yellowstone National Park, and all over the internet now is a video taken by park visitors. Of a visitor to Yellowstone National Park who walked up, this woman did, walked up, and there was this full-sized wild bison. This happened near the Old Faithful geyser, and the bison was just sitting there peacefully, minding his own business, and this woman walks right up to it and starts to pet it. And you can see the bison doesn't like this. It actually stands up a couple of times. And this woman, people are yelling at her, and she just keeps doing this. And the bison keeps standing up. The woman is lucky to be alive. Yellowstone Park visitors recorded all this, and I'll put a link on the show notes page. You can see it. But you do not pet a full-grown bison. I don't know if this woman was aware of the danger or not, but the park is filled with warnings about this. Last year was one of the worst years on record for bison attacks. There were 5 attacks that occurred from May through July out there. And in those 5 encounters, 3 people were literally tossed. 2 people were gored after getting too close to bison, which are one of the largest land animals in North America. All of those people sustained injuries ranging from minor to very serious. If you're at a park and you're any kind of a wild animal, you got to stay 100 yards back. 100 yards back from bears and wolves, 25 yards away from any other large animal like a bison. But people continue to disregard. Every time we're out there, I just am stunned at how stupid people are trying to take selfies with these animals. Amazing. In fact, that happened last year. One of the people who was hurt was a woman who was trying to take a selfie with a bison in the background. Now, wildlife incidents are nothing new, but officials at the park say the prevalence of camera phones, you know, which don't really have good zoom capabilities, and then people sharing selfies on social media, they blame that for the why there's so many more animal incidents, because people keep trying to get close and close. All of the people who were injured in those attacks last year were within 10 feet of the animal when it charged, well under that 25 yards that is required by the National Park Service. And most of them were taking pictures. This woman caught petting the bison. Officials are trying to track her down. I think they got a pretty good lead on her. And they are going to give her a stiff fine for approaching and harassing. That's really what she was doing, harassing park wildlife. So very stupid, very stupid. All right. Another report that came out from KOA. They're always measuring their audience. We had them on the show a couple of, I guess it was early last year. They were on. They talked about how they're so into social media. And it's great because they get such great detailed statistics on camping. And so their statistics this year are projected, and they say that a new report they just released that 1 million households in North America are new campers. They started camping for the first time last year, 1 million households. You can average three people per household, so you're talking about 3 million new campers out there. And what they're finding is a lot more of these folks are coming from various backgrounds. 18% are African American, 11% are Hispanic, 44% are millennials, younger people. This is all in the 2016 North American Camping Report from KOA, which is this independent study they support that's done every year. And so there's not only an increase in diversity out there, but among the newer campers, they're finding that there's a relaxation and stress relief are the number one and two reasons people camp. They did about 3,000 surveys, and that was pretty cool. Let's see, what else did they find? Millennials who started camping last year, 54% are non-white. So that's a pretty strong group of young people coming in and adding diversity to the RV ranks. They say 1 in 10 African American and Asian American campers just started camping this past year. And they're clear, keen finding that among all campers, no matter what background, camping is a form of escapism and a healthy way to connect with family and friends. You can read all of that and see how you figure in that report, the KOA 2016 camping report. Again, I'll link to it in the show notes for this episode, roadtrekking.com/85. And one more pretty significant story that broke this week. This was over the last week. The people who have Dometic refrigerators, they're probably the leading RV refrigerators. A group of RV owners have filed a nationwide class action lawsuit against Dometic, claiming that the company sold defective gas absorption refrigerators with cooling systems that can spontaneously ignite in RVs and boats. And of course, the lawsuit alleges this puts consumers at risk of deadly fire and explosions and all that. They say, according to this lawsuit, that defective refrigerators have caused or contributed to at least 3,000 fires since 1997, resulting in more than $100 million in property damage and personal injury claims, all of which Dometic tracked through multiple non-public internal databases. And despite that, alleged this lawsuit, the company failed and refused to eliminate the defects or provide consumers with adequate warnings. You can read about this. It is all up on our show notes page, roadtrekking.com/85. This portion of the podcast is brought to you by Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name in heat that you need to know for your RV. Aldi uses a hydronic system, and it brings so many features and benefits that you just cannot find with any other RV heating system. The Aldi system, a hydronic, that means water-based, is a silent radiant heat. It's the kind you find in high-end homes, and that provides this warm, even, natural heated interior. It's great for your pets, by the way. You get an amazing amount of efficiency. The whole system draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC. It will extend the life of your propane roughly 40% over that irritating, dry, noisy, forced air system that you find on many RVs. The Aldi system has all these great options. You can get towel warmers. You can get tank heating. Some places you can get four-season camping. You can retract some of the engine heat to heat the interior of the coach as well. Great driver comfort. The one that the amenity that Jennifer and I like best is floor heat. Heated floors in the in our Road Trek CS Adventurous XL. We have the Aldi system. We love the heated floors. It's so nice on those cold mornings or those chilly evenings where you get up in the middle of the night having your floor nice and comfortable and warm. It's awesome. And so quiet. No noise with Aldi. And if you've been in any RV that uses forced air, you know how noisy that really is. So enjoy it. Aldi, it is the only name that you need to know when you are choosing a heating system for your RV.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
Okay, the biggest question I get all the time from people is, my smartphone ran out of juice. It's always out there when I talk about technology questions, and particularly among RVers. One of the reasons why is that a lot of RVers have their phones on, and you know, you're traveling in and out of cell range. And oftentimes, I don't think most people realize this, when you are out of a cellular coverage area, that doesn't happen very much with our Verizon system, but every now and then I'm parked in the middle of nowhere. What I do is I turn off the cell, the data stuff, and I put it in airplane mode, and that saves battery. It really does. So try that. The reason why is because when you're not in cell phone range and your smartphone is just going to constantly be trying to find a signal. So it's being used a whole lot more, and that will suck the battery juice out. So when you are camped in a boondocking area far from service, just put it in airplane mode. You can still use the phone. You can read books or whatever else you have on it, but it will not be always searching for a cell signal if there's none to be found. That's one thing. I've got a whole bunch of other tips, and I'll put them on the show notes page, but here's a couple others. Now, some of these are kind of geared towards the iPhone, which is the unit I use, but there's also similar features you can activate or deactivate on the Android. So let me just tell you a couple of them. First thing is, a lot of people don't update their software on their phones. Do it. One of the key things and the reasons cell manufacturers do updated software is because they're improving battery management. So whenever you see a software update available, be sure and take it. Battery life is almost always being improved by those updates. And you'll find whether it's an Android or an iPhone, you want those updates. Here's another thing. All of our smartphones today pretty much use GPS to keep track of your always changing locations, and that can be a real battery drive. So you can go to location services. That's in the iPhone. There's also a similar one under settings or privacy for the Android. Location services, and turn them all off. Or you can pick and choose. For example, frequent locations is a feature that tracks your regular cell phone destinations. And then they use that. Ever wonder why you get targeted ads? Like if you go into a CVS and you get an alert from CVS, you ever wonder why that happens? Well, it's not only annoying, it drains your battery. So turn off location services if you've got them activated or turned on. Turn them off, and that will save you a whole lot right there. It won't be checking the GPS and then sending you stuff you don't want. You can also disable notifications. Now, you don't want to disable things like text or voicemail, but notifications from like Twitter or Facebook, those can go off. I mean, you need to know every time somebody posts something on Twitter or to your Facebook screen. You don't. You know, you want to do that when you activate it and you've got some time to look at Facebook, but you don't have to have that on your smartphone. So go to the notification setting. either on your iPhone or on your Android phone. Scroll down wherever you see a list of all of the different applications that have notifications. And if you got a bunch of them on, start turning them off or do not include them. You can pick and choose which ones you want. You know, you want to know when you get a phone or if you get a text, all that stuff. Those are good to keep on, but you don't need to have Facebook and Twitter or any of your social media turned on unless that's what you want to do. So remember, again, the first tip I talked about, airplane mode. It is your friend in remote locations. So turn airplane mode on when you are in very remote locations and there's no cell signal, or in the middle of the night, you can turn it on. So while you're sleeping, it's not always looking for a signal. These are good ways to save those batteries. Most people say their battery wears off at the end of the day, and RVers seem to get theirs to, you know, go off a lot. That you use your battery up a lot faster because of all the things I just mentioned. So you want to check out these tips. There's some more precise instructions in the show notes page, roadtrekking.com/85, under our tech tips, traveling tech tips section. Hey, you getting ready to go on the road on your RV? Well, no road trip is complete without some tunes to jam out to. And the UE Boom 2 from Verizon is the perfect travel companion and portable speaker for any music lover. The UE Boom 2 is a very smart Bluetooth speaker, which means there's no cables, there's excellent sound projection. It's waterproof, which means you can use it outside, guarantees to make any road trip or camping experience more fun. And lots of ways to use the UE Boom 2 speaker. It will amp up your vacation. You can double up wirelessly. You can connect up to two UE Boom speakers together and set them up to play as a stereo pair if you've got maybe a big area you're going to cover around a campfire or something. You can collaborate with it. It has a block party feature that lets up to three friends connect to the speaker. So you can take turns playing music and see who has the better playlist. You can stream. When you run music on your UE Boom 2 from a Verizon smartphone, you won't have to worry about buffering delays. With their reliable 4G LTE network, you'll be rocking well into the night. This is a very cool speaker, the UE Boom 2. It's on sale. It's a special right now, $149.99. It's normally $199 the entire month of April, so you want to get it before the end of the month, and you can go to your local Verizon retailer and get outfitted for your next trip today. So check it out, the UE Boom 2.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique road trekking RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
Hey, checking in with us is one of our regular Off the Beaten Path correspondents, Patty Burkett.
Hi, Jennifer and Mike. We've spent a good couple of weeks rambling through Oklahoma and seeing the Utah National Parks. On the hunt for a dispersed camping site in the Dixie National Forest, we happened by a sign for the Wells Fargo Museum. Who could pass that up? On a mountain hillside surrounded by new, upscale homes is the ghost mining town of Silver Reef. The only remaining building, the Wells Fargo office, houses a museum that details daily life for the miners. There are artifacts aplenty, of course, but also newspapers, maps, and photographs. In a small adjoining building is a diorama model of the town in its heyday. Three saloons, banks, barbershops, boarding houses, and a firehouse. Nearby, in the town of Leeds, are preserved buildings from the CCC camp that built the roads into the National Forest, and the Oak Grove campground several miles up the mountainside. We can't recommend the campground, but along the road are numerous delightful dispersed campsites. Ours had a path leading to a rushing mountain stream. Get off I-15 at exit 23 in Utah and head uphill. You can't miss it.
All right. Thank you. That's Patty Burkett with an Off the Beaten Path report. If you've got an Off the Beaten Path report, I invite you to use the leave voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. It's on the right-hand side there, a little black strip along the side of the right-hand side. Just click that and you can leave your report. If I use it as an Off the Beaten Path report on the podcast, I'll send you a free road trekking hat. This part of the podcast brought to you by AllStays, the internet's number one RV and camping app since 2010. Now, you know, Patty is talking about all these great places and off the beaten path reports, but so you get there and you got to find a place to stay. How do you know how to do that? Well, that is where this AllStays app comes in so handy. It is the only app I use anymore when I'm out there and I'm looking for a place to stay, because I always can find exactly what I want. AllStays has been doing this for 16 years, and they have a free website. They have an enhanced subscription website where you can get, you know, updated information a lot faster as well. And of course, their app. They have a whole bunch of apps, but Camp and RV is the number one camping app and has been since 2010. It's the one you want for your Android, for your smartphone, for your iPhone, whatever it is. One of the reasons you want this app is all of the data is stored inside the app, and that means it's really fast. And even in those times, like I just mentioned a little while ago, if you turned off, if you've gone into airplane mode or you don't have cell service or whatever, it's great because the app still is there. The data is in the app and the app is on your phone. So you can do your search even if you don't have good cell phone coverage. Most of the points that they have text directions inside the app. So that's pretty cool. You can get texted how to get there. They list every possible kind of camping spot. So you figure out what you want. Do you want a nice resort type campground? Do you want a campground that has just electric, but you don't want to have to pay for sewer and all the rest of that stuff? If you want just a boondock, if you want a free place to stay, if you're looking for just a Walmart parking lot that'll let you camp, AllStays has all of that information. It's constantly updated. What I like about it is you can filter by all sorts of things. For example, say you've taken up that offer to become part of Good Sam that we talked about earlier on, and you want a campground that'll give you that Good Sam discount. So just clipe that in, whatever type of camping club you want. If you want one that has a laundromat on it, type that in. It will then filter and tell you campgrounds that meet those requirements. You need to go check this thing out. Also, lots of free places to stay, Walmarts, Cracker Barrels, details like which side of the building, all that. AllStays is the app to get. Just search for it on your smartphone area and your smartphone library, whether it's Google Play or whether it's the App Store with iPhone, and just look for AllStays. You'll find it. That is, it's what you want. It is so cool. It is the only app that you really need. AllStays.
You're listening to Road Trekking, the podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos and photos on the roadtrekking.com RV travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. From the blog, just click the send voicemail button. That's at roadtrekking.com. The small motorhome RV travel blog. Travel blog.
All right, time now for our interview of the week. And as I said earlier in the program, we are hopscotching off of something that we did a survey on our Facebook group. By the way, are you a part of our Facebook group yet? Go to just search groups and look for Road Trekking the Group and become a part of that. We have so much activity on that Facebook page. In fact, so much that I decided to do a question last week. I wanted to know what percentage of RVers have pets. And I guess obviously we have a pet, and so I'm always wondering about that. But I wanted to know I wanted some really accurate information on what the statistics showed in terms of people with pets. I've heard all these wild estimates, people saying, 90% have pets, others saying 20%. Well, I can tell you now that thanks to our own unofficial survey on our very active Road Trekking Facebook group, just over 67% of all RVers travel with pets. And when you look at the response that people give you, you'll see that many, many, many of them say that one of the prime reasons they bought an RV is because they want to travel with their pets. So it is an incredible marketplace, and it's a big reason people travel in the RV lifestyle. So it was very interesting, and you can read all those results. I'll put a link to that survey. But it got me thinking and looking for resources, and there's a couple. I found one site called bringfido.com. But the site that I was most impressed with, hands down, the best resource I have found for RVers who travel with their pets, and according to our survey, again, 67% of RVers do that, is gopetfriendly.com, all one word, gopetfriendly.com. And one of the reasons I like Go Pet Friendly so much is because our guest, Amy Burkert, and her husband, Rod, are full-time RVers themselves. They have been traveling North America in a Class A motorhome. They documented thousands of pet-friendly places, and their site is a virtual encyclopedia of travel advice for RVers looking for pet-friendly places. They've Amy and Rod have traveled over 80,000 miles over the past 5 years with their two dogs, Buster and Ty, and she has lots of great advice for our listeners about traveling with our four-legged friends.
Well, joining us right now from GoPetFriendly.com is Amy Burkert. And Amy Burkert, we are delighted to have you on the podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the challenges that RVers face. I mentioned in the intro here that we just ran a survey, and at least 67% of all RVers travel with a pet. Many of them say that's the main reason they got an RV. But often when they get out there, they find that some places are not exactly as friendly as they hoped they'd be.
Yeah, that's true. We find the same thing. We've been traveling full-time with our two dogs now for 6 years in our RV, and we find the same thing. And so what we try to do is bring the pieces of information together that people need so that they can find out in advance how pet-friendly a place is going to be, and that way they can kind of prepare themselves for the idea of what it's going to be like when they get there, or they can choose another destination if that's not what they're looking for.
Yeah, we'll send everybody with a link here in the podcast to gopetfriendly.com. You have a blog there as well, and they have a great search engine. You just type in the city and state that you're headed and what kind of features you're looking for your dog and or your pet of any kind, I guess. And then we'll work them through that. But what are the trends that you're seeing out there? Is the RVing world becoming more or less pet friendly these days?
I think overall, traveling with your pets is becoming easier. More places are recognizing that this is a viable market. Pet travelers are a viable market to try to attract. So we see cities raising campaigns to try to promote their pet friendliness. We see other kinds of businesses like restaurants and hotels are improving their pet friendliness. And I think that it's kind of a general trend that we see going on. There's always some, you know, with any advancement, it's always like two steps forward, one step back. So with any advancement we see, we'll see some kickback of people pulling back on the pet friendliness of their policies. And generally we see that when we have irresponsible owners who decide that it's not important to pick up after their pets, or decide that their pet that the rules, leash laws, or for example, don't apply to their pet. And there's an incident, and then therefore everybody suffers because one person, you know, decides that they're not going to abide by the rules. And so we do see some give and take, but in general, the pet friendliness of the places that we go tends to be increasing. I said we've been on the road for 6 years now, and I think that we have an easier time traveling now than we did back in the beginning.
Now, how do you chronicle what places are pet friendly and what aren't? Obviously, in 6 years, and I see on your website you've traveled over 80,000 miles, you've been to a lot of places, but you can't go to all of them. How do you get the information?
We have a way for people to contribute the information that they find when they're on the road. So across the top of the website, there's an add a listing button. So if people have found something that's pet friendly that we haven't discovered yet, we add that to the website. They submit a form. We do the research and figure out, you know, the phone number and the website and all of that stuff. And then we add it to the database. And we've got over 60,000 locations across the U.S. and Canada now. And that covers hotels, campgrounds, beaches, wineries, dog parks, restaurants, pet supply stores, veterinarians, doggy daycare, really anything that we could think of that we thought that people would need when they were traveling with their pet away from home. We added it to the website so that we would just try to be that resource that would make it easier for people to travel with their pets.
Tell us about your travel style with your pets. You have two dogs, right?
We do. We have a German Shepherd and a Shar Pei, and the Shepherd is 9. The Shar Pei is 11 and a half, and their names are Buster and Ty. And the reason, actually, we started the website was we found Buster as a stray when we lived in Center City, Philadelphia. We came out of the house one morning and he was sitting there basically right on our doorstep, and we looked for his people and couldn't find anybody that was looking for him. Put in the found dog reports, put up posters. We went through all of the steps that you would normally take when you find a dog that seems to be lost. Nobody was looking for him, and he didn't have any identification on him, and he wasn't microchipped. And so I think, you know, perhaps somebody just dumped him in our neighborhood, and it turned out to be our lucky day, because after we adopted him, we discovered how hard it was to travel with a big dog. He was breaking the weight restrictions at hotels, and he was this big, gangly dog that was, you know, just a little bit more difficult to travel with. You needed to find dog parks for him to run if you were going to, you know, have him in the car for the day. And so after our first 3.5-week family road trip with my husband and the two dogs, we decided that we were going to start this website and bring all this information together so that people would have an easier time planning a trip where they could find things to do and places to stay
now,
with their pets.
You and your husband are full-time RVers. So tell us, I'm looking again at your blog. I see it looks like you started off with, I see a Class C. And now you are in a big blue Class A motorhome, a Winnebago, it looks like.
Yeah, we are. We're in an Itasca Meridian, a 37-footer, and we love it. We've had it now for about 2.5 years, and about a year and a half ago, we had it wrapped with GoPet-friendly graphics. So it is a big blue RV. We're one of the very few RVs on the road, so we're very easy to spot. The blue is not a very common color. And we've got a map background on there, and then we have some graphics that explain the different types of listings that we have, hotels and campgrounds and restaurants and wineries. Those kind of graphics are on the website, so people can just, at a quick glance, kind of get an idea of what we do.
Now, we do a ton of RVing with our dog as well, but sometimes we will try and stay in a motel. And one of the things that has just fried me for a long time is the pathetic condition that pet-friendly rooms in many of the motels are. They seem to restrict you to one or two. Everyone we have been in the last couple of years has had an odor. They're just not nearly as well maintained as you'd think. And I wonder, is that something that your readers and followers have noted as well, or am I just in bad luck?
No, I think that there is some, to some degree. I think it depends on the hotel that you choose. I think that there are some hotels that are pet tolerant, I would say, and some maybe I would classify even more as barely pet tolerant. And then we do find some hotels that are truly pet friendly, and those chains go out of their way to make you feel welcome, and they make sure that your room is up to par with all the other rooms in the hotel. They don't stick you in, you know, the basement or, you know, anything like, or in, stick you in the smoking section of the hotel if you've got a pet with you. One of the things that we did when we started the website was we decided that we wanted to have a consistent pet policy for the hotels and campgrounds on the website, because that's really the information that people need when they're trying to make a decision as to whether they're going to be able to stay with their pet. For me, it was more about a weight restriction, but for you, it could be about, whether you're going to get stuck in a smoking room, for example. And so we collected those detailed pet policies, and they're consistent across the database so that people know in advance if there's a pet fee, if there's a restaurant on site where the dog is allowed to sit at the outside seating area, if the pet's allowed to be allowed is allowed to be left unattended in the room while you run out to get something to eat, for example. If there's a limit on the number of pets that can be in the room, or if there's a weight restriction, all of those things we gathered up front, so that it just makes it a lot easier for people to have all that data at their fingertips when they're trying to make a decision.
One of the other things that we've noticed in some of the states that we've traveled in, because we tend to maybe we'll go out and grab dinner and we'll leave the dog in the RV at the air conditioning on. And we have since heard that there are a number of states, Arizona is one, I'm hearing Florida is another, there's probably more, in which it is illegal to do that, even if you're in an RV with the air on, to leave a pet unattended. Have you heard of that as a growing problem, or is there some recourse for RVers?
I have heard that is a growing problem, and in my experience, what I've seen thus far, and what I've read, not personally seen because we haven't had an issue, thank goodness, but what I've read is that generally it involves a call to the police. And the police tend to be pretty, competent in deciding whether a pet is truly in danger or not. And so I think, in a car in 110 degree heat in the direct sunshine, yes, absolutely, there's a problem. If you've parked your RV and the air conditioning is running and the shades are pulled and, the temperature is comfortable inside, then there's really no need to be concerned, especially if you're just gone for a short amount of time. So, the movement has a really good, people have good hearts, right? Mm-hmm. They're really trying to protect animals and save animals. And I think that the movement is the base of it is really good hearted. I think that we need to be careful that we don't all get lumped into a bucket, and that we do have some common sense that goes along with this, because obviously people who are traveling in RVs, sometimes do need to leave their pets alone for short periods of time. And as long as they're making sure that their pets are safe, there really shouldn't be any problem with that.
Absolutely. And I think most police officers, as you say, are fairly reasonable about it. The other question we get a lot are dog-friendly beaches. And I know you can search for that on your site. There are, of course, everybody loves when you're on one of the great beaches of our country. You've RV'd there, and it'd be fun to share it with your dog. But that's been a problem often in trying to find good dog-friendly places where your dog can actually participate in the water. I know there are off-leash parks cropping up everywhere across the country. That's a big part of our lifestyle and our travel now when we travel with our dog. But how about beaches? Are you seeing more of those coming around?
We don't see a huge increase in the number of beaches. I think that there's a real concern about people not picking up after their dogs on the beach.
Yeah.
And people being near the water, people being, kids playing in the sand, those kinds of things. There's a real concern about people not picking up after their dogs. But what we did do, and it does make it easier at least to find the beaches that are out there, is we created a road trip planner on the website. So you can type in where you're starting from and where you're going to, and the website will map your route, and then you can click to have it find, for example, all the pet-friendly activities along the way, which beaches would be included under activities. And so you don't end up driving right by a pet-friendly beach and not even knowing that it's there.
Yeah, that's good. That is very good to do. I actually will do that. I'm leaving in about a week, and we'll do the same thing. Last question is, tell us a little bit about you and your husband, Rod. By background, I see that you were both accountants. And is this now your full-time job as well, or do you do other stuff from the road?
This is my full-time job. Go Pet Friendly is my full-time job. We're on social media, very active on social media. I write the blog, so that does keep me busy. We have over 200 now destination guides. So people, if they're interested in checking out a new place, they can go to the website. And across the top of the navigation pane, there's a little button that says destination guides. And there's a map that pops up when you click on that. And it has little pinpoints for all the locations that I've written about. And you can click on those pinpoints, and it will take you to the blog post that I wrote about that area, so people can see what we did with our dogs when we were there, how pet friendly we found the place to be. So Go Pet Friendly keeps me busy full time. Rod still runs his own business, from the RV. He's transitioned it now. He's a consultant and a business coach, and he's transitioned his practice so that it's flexible enough that he can run it from the RV, and we just motor around following the weather.
And that's probably one of the neatest things about this lifestyle is there's so many people that can do that. If you have the internet, you can work just about anywhere in many different careers. And lots of people jump starting second and third careers, and I never thought I'd be doing this, and this has become, and it is, as you say, it is more than a full-time job, really. Well, Amy, thank you for spending some time with us, and I hope to run into that blue van of yours out there, and we'll catch you sometime, and we'll get our dogs to go out and play together, and I will send everyone to your site, and we will use you as a great resource as people ask us questions. We'll send them straight to GoPetFriendly.com. Thank you, Amy Burkert, for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Traveling North America in a Class B motor home. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking. Road Trekking.
So ends another episode number 85 of Road Trekking, the RV podcast. Thank you to our special guest, Amy Burkert from GoPetFriendly.com. I'm sure we'll have Amy back on again as we get more comments. If you've got some comments about pet-friendly places or not-so-friendly places that you may want to warn our listeners about, use that leave voicemail feature on the RoadTrekking.com blog and let everybody know. Also, we would love to get your questions and your comments and your tips and your advice. This is your show. So use that leave voicemail message. It's so easy. All you gotta do is click it, and then it uses the microphone inside your computer or your smartphone or your tablet, and you can leave us a message, and then we can put it as part of the program next week. New episodes of Road Trekking, the RV podcast, are on every single Wednesday. And every Wednesday, the best way for you to get it is to subscribe to these podcasts. You can do through iTunes, through Stitcher. Google has an iPhone app that you can use as well. So check them all out, and not just an iPhone, but any kind of a smartphone. Check out the Google app and get it on your Android and your iPhone or whatever it is. And if you subscribe, every time there's a new episode, you just get a little notice. Hey, there's a new one, and then you just click and listen. And of course, you can go to the website and get them there as well. Listen to it on your computer or download it however you want. This is your program. We love having you there. Thank you for being with us and putting us in your ear for the last hour. Hope you're getting out there in your RV. If at the very least, I hope you're starting to think about where you're going this year. Drop us a note through the blog or through the leave voicemail area and let us know your plans. We hope to see you out there. Don't forget Jennifer's invitation to meet us up in Nashville at the KOA on Music Center Drive on May 13th and 14th. And then on the 14th, we're all going to go to the Grand Ole Opry. So we'd love to meet a bunch of you in Nashville. You can find links to everything we talked about in this episode on our show notes page at roadtrekking.com/85. Till next week, I'm Mike Wendland. Thanks for listening.